climate crisis has cost the lives of many and is destined to cause more damage as temperatures rise. That's the findings in a new report from Monash University, which also identifies links between climate change and adverse medical conditions in humans. Misha Coleman is the Executive Director of the Global Health Alliance Australia. She told The Wire's Nahum Gayle that climate stresses on pregnant mothers can cause problems for their unborn children.
There's been some work done after extreme weather events, so that includes, you know, the Brisbane floods and the floods in Iowa City. And what seems to happen is that the stress hormones that are produced, they cross the placenta and then they produce these impacts on the unborn fetus. And it's been shown in some of those studies that children born to mothers who've experienced those severe weather events have up to 14 less IQ points as a result, and also a smaller vocabulary, less imaginative play. And those follow-up studies were done when those children were two, so 2 years after a pregnant mum experienced a severe weather event.
What are the specific diseases that the human race will be facing due to global warming?
We only outlined 12 of the human health impacts. There are many, many, many more. But with pollen, the higher temperatures lead to two things. One, a longer pollen season for a lot of flowering plants, and also an increased amount in actual overall pollen output. So the combination of the higher temperatures and greenhouse gas concentration leads to this higher amount of pollen in the air, and in turn a lot more allergies, a lot more asthma attacks, and a lot more respiratory effects.
Are there any specific areas in the globe that should be impacted more predominantly from this rise in global temperatures?
There will be changes around the globe in terms of where viruses appear. So, for example, one of the projections that we've outlined in the report released yesterday is where we expect the Nipah virus to be occurring in the future. So Nipah is a bat-borne virus. It causes diseases in pigs and horses and, you know, other domestic animals, and it can be fatal, particularly in humans. Now, Nipah virus is not currently found in Australia, but there's been a lot of modelling work done out of the US that shows by the year 2050, Australia will be the number one hotspot for the Nipah virus due to climatic changes.
Outside of the effects on humans, how will the rising global temperatures affect other species?
One of the things that is happening in terms of climate change is the movement of wild animals into human-populated areas. So wildlife who carry a number of different viruses without any problem, when climate change produces more fires, loss of habitat, drought, loss of water, those wild animals like wallabies, for example, they move into more urbanized areas because they're looking for green grass and water. So in Townsville, for example, wallabies are moving into areas with golf courses and nice big 2 acre blocks, and they poo. And once that poo is mown over, that becomes airborne, that virus. And when it's airborne, it's highly, highly transmissible. So the virus that we're talking about here is Q fever. And there's a huge rise in the incidence of Q fever, not just in Townsville, but the New South Wales Farmers Federation were talking about the rise in infection last week as well. And so the relationship between wildlife, environmental health and human health is inextricably linked, and the effects of climate change are really making that transmission of animal-based viruses into humans much more easy.
Considering deaths linked to climate have already begun occurring, is there still a chance to change the future ahead?
I think there's a huge opportunity to go forth knowing what we know about the human impacts of climate change. And what we were trying to do is present a compelling case to reduce fossil fuel production, to transfer to renewable energy, not just in Australia, but all throughout the region where we're spending ratepayers and taxpayers' dollars. And I do think we need to immediately adapt to changing climate. So, for example, our homes are very, very poorly equipped for what we know is coming down the line with changing climate. And there's been some survey work done by the Victorian government, which is really showing that our houses need to be built in a way that prepares for the coming increased temperatures. So we can be doing things immediately to prepare for what we know is coming, but we can also transition at the same time to less fossil fuel intensive energy production methods so that we were playing the short game and the long game simultaneously.
Misha Coleman, Executive Director of the Global Health Alliance Australia, speaking to The Wire's Nahum Gale.